Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I hope that these last two episodes we just did over the presidential vetoes of the Department of Transportation helps galvanize you in understanding how limited the Constitution really is and how protected we are as long as our representatives in our state hold the federal government in compliance to the Constitution and themselves. And I am here to tell you that what we have in those last two episodes should give you all of the evidence, the academic evidence you need to go into your state legislators. And I want to hear about it. I want to hear about any one of you that is willing. And if you want help, I will help you create the presentation on PowerPoint and the handouts so that you can actually walk in to your state legislators to speak to the whole body. You just need to get one of them to sponsor, to say, we have an expert on the Constitution, and or we have a representative of the Reclaiming the Republic, and we would like you, and as a matter of fact, if you're a part of the NLA, you can use that. What we want to do is we want to have our state legislators actually hear the words of Madison, Monroe, and Jackson all agree that the federal government cannot exercise powers that are not enumerated, and the fact of the Department of Transportation not being an enumerated power, it cannot be operated. And to challenge them to find the amendments to grant the federal government all the powers that it has created. Just because the court has ruled that they can do these things does not give the court or the federal government any constitutional power. Show me in the Constitution any amendment or any language in the Constitution that has been ratified from 1789 to the amendments that have been ratified to it today. Show me where the Constitution allows for the federal court system to grant powers to the federal government. They can't do it. Only the states. Article 5 clearly states that only the states have the authority, and it requires 3/4, not a simple majority. I hope and pray that you are starting to understand the difference between this show and every other show. This show provides you the academic evidence you need to go fight. I'm not here to, you know, get everybody to buy my books. I'm not here for anybody to do anything for me. I am asking you as a leader to begin leading. That's what leaders do. They do the right thing and they stand up and call out what is wrong and lead people in the direction that we need to go to preserve our liberties. So, as you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. We have our comment line. Please utilize that. This is all electronic. This is not like the old days where messages are recorded on a tape, and if the tape's full, then there's no more message. You can't leave a message. We have the unlimited ability for you to call, leave a message, and if the message is too, if you have to call back again, then okay. I'm okay with people, tying up that line. We actually have more lines. We have more lines. I have three more lines that we could actually throw out there, but we're not. Those lines are dedicated for people within very particular states or for other purposes, but the fact is, let's start utilizing this line for you to get off your chest any questions, any reservations you have regarding Republic Review. You have an argument against it, I want to hear it. And I want to play that argument so that other people can hear those words, because they may share those same sentiments. They may not say, well, I don't see this. And we will dive into, and I will provide you the academic evidence that supports Republic Review. Simple. There's lots of people that may have missed parts of these shows that I've provided that evidence in. If you don't listen to every show, you're missing critical data. And so that's why I don't care about fanatics. I only care about people learning, if that makes sense, because I don't want you to be tuning in because you're a GR fanatic. What I want you to do is I want you to be tuning in because you want to be empowered with knowledge, because knowledge is power, that you're willing to act upon that knowledge to do the right thing, right? Okay, so this is how we are working together, creating a symbiotic relationship that we can get out and reach. It says, I can't make it to every state house this year. I don't have the funding, and I'm not asking you to fund it. But I am asking you to share this message and to help other people as we start growing the show. And this is why we ask you to help, you know, get people to start listening. Get people to at least start downloading these podcasts so that they're hearing this, so that the message can grow to where hopefully maybe somebody, if you can't do it because, you know, Sacramento and California is a long ways to go if you're living in San Diego. But if you know somebody and they finally turn it on to somebody, they turn this show on to somebody that may live in Sacramento or may live in, what's that town that starts with a T? I'm at a loss. But, there's towns all over California. And you may know somebody that's even closer that might actually be able to go and bear witness to the legislatures, or I should say to the legislators in Sacramento, and tell them what they need to do. Now, I can tell you that California is so dark blue that it'll fall on deaf ears. But I believe we have a responsibility to tell them that they stand in jeopardy because they are violating the law of the land, and that they will be subject to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment once the people demand compliance to the Constitution. And if they feel so empowered that they do not have to comply, that they can shred the Constitution, then the day is coming. Because I am telling you, once the states start waking up, there's nothing that keeps the attorney generals from charging these people with treason and starting to move forward and prosecuting and demanding and creating a public spectacle out of these treasonous folks. See? Clean words there. I'm getting better. Anyway, we do want you to help grow the show because we tell you all the time that with a right comes a responsibility. It is not a right unless there is a responsibility to it. And so you have a birthright. You have a right to be able to do very specific things, and you have rights that are protected by the Constitution. And your duty is to basically support the Constitution, just like the individual citizen that is going through the naturalization process. They are to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And anybody that's being sworn in as a citizen today has to look at what the heck's going on in D.C. and they go, what do I do? Do I go after these people who are, you know, supporting Trump? Because that's how they're being labeled. This is why we don't champion in our country as patriots. We do not champion people. We champion the Constitution because it is the thing that protects our liberties. And we have seen, sadly, enough evidence, even in American history, where presidents of the United States have caused harm from Jackson. Andrew Jackson killed how many Indians on the Trail of Tears unconstitutionally? I'm here to tell you that we have the opportunity to, I think, set the record straight. I think that there's been plenty of blood sacrifice already. I think that we don't need the swords and the guns. We need the pens and the courage and might and fortitude to just take a stand and actually hold our state. I believe there's enough state legislators and there's enough movement right now moving to actually get this thing going. I do. I know the Lord has made this nation ripe at this point in time to turn us in the direction that he put us on. And as we exercise our rights, some of those rights that you actually have within the Constitution to help protect it is your First Amendment petition for the redress of grievances, demanding that your county officials call for common law grand juries. These are some of the things we've covered. And your responsibility in being in the militia to ensure that only constitutional laws are being enforced. We are in a fight. And I say this all the time, and I kind of play this or present this in different ways, but we're in a fight against evil. We're in a fight against Satan, or whatever you want to call this globalist agenda, these elitists, whatever. They are the enemy, and they want us to engage them on their terms. They want you to go into the court system to fight them. Because you will lose every time. When it comes down to jurisdiction, no court system has the jurisdiction over constitutional violations. The Supreme Court does not have the jurisdiction as to the federal government violating the Constitution by creating the Department of Energy and any rules and laws it makes subsequent to that department. Only the states have the authority to judge and be the jury. I've been teaching you this over and over. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so the fact is that when we go into the court system, even the state court system, they all feed into the same monster. Any appeals, you're not happy, or your state court doesn't do the right thing, the ending result is to be bumped into the Leviathan, bumped into the monster. That is unacceptable. States must be held accountable. And truly, in a representative form of government, it only makes sense that our representatives be the final arbiters in all things. So let me just say this. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope that you're finding value added and in your day in listening to this show. What we want to do is we want to get back on track with the what I'll refer to as the marketing. Let's just call it marketing, because prior to the Monroe, Jackson, and Madison's vetoes of the Department of Transportation, we were talking about the party and what the party needs to be doing. Some of you may have missed that, but I'm not going to repeat everything. And in our next content, in our next content show, which will probably be Monday or next week sometime, we're going to cover Madison's letter to John G. Jackson, and we're going to help put all of this together as to why the ratification debates are America's treasure, period. It's irrefutable. You want to understand, you want to talk about, you want to engage regarding the Constitution. You cannot do so without the ratification debates. This is how we have been misled, and the progressives, the globalists, and those nefarious actors who are politicians with machinations of aggrandizing themselves and federal powers has mopped the room with us by just using the Constitution. I remember there was a gentleman I was talking to who created his own lessons on the Constitution. He had, you know, this course material, and he sells it, and he, you know, offers people this education on the Constitution. And so as I started to talk to him, and I actually interviewed him, this was back in 2016 or 2017, and in my interview, I said, well, how did you create your course material? How did you create your class on the Constitution? And he goes, well, I used the Constitution, of course. And I said, oh, so you didn't reference the Federalist Papers that kind of helped highlight and give insights to why certain things in the Constitution were the way they were or anything like that? He goes, no. And I go, and so you do, then the logical point that I tried to bring up to this guy was that if you do not use the ratification debates, you can start wandering down rat holes like John Marshall did in aggrandizing the federal government with the necessary and proper supremacy clause, commerce clause, and these mystical clauses that I have been telling you that they have been using to, you know, to help sell this idea that they're not perverting the Constitution when in fact they are. And they have been for years. So anyway, we will get into Madison's letter. Sorry, I had to wet the whistle real quick. We will be getting into Madison's letters, or that one letter to John G. Jackson, and I think it will help open your mind and eyes. Let me, because we're going to start moving into organizations, and so I'm going to repeat some of the stuff I've said regarding the Constitution Party. Only the Constitution Party fully supports the Constitution. Their platform may be monstrous, but it can be changed and literally condensed into a Jeffersonian Republican platform. I'll just use the Communist Manifesto as a good example. They have 10 planks. Boom, 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 boom. It doesn't hurt anybody's head. They're not reading a book. Your platform needs to be very clear and concise. And so that's what's really important. And we hope to be going into that perspective. Now, I was making recommended bylaw changes, and one of the bylaw changes, because now we recognize the government can and will use shenanigans and unconstitutional assertions to affect us and our ability to respond with these lockdowns and this unconstitutional assertion of power. They have taken away our ability to assemble, to worship, and actually meet in conventions and working. The ability to dynamically alter. So this is a bylaw that needs to be inserted into the bylaws of any good party. The ability to dynamically alter the state organization when a massive influx of people join. And this needs to be quantified. In other words, let's say you've got 40 people in the party and you got 40 more, that doubles it, but that does not quantify the need. We're talking, and this really needs to be in the Constitution Party's bylaws, because I believe the day will be coming soon when the entire Republican Party of a state who refuses to support the RNC agenda in shaming, political correctness. This is the crap that's coming down. Northwest Grassroots got shamed because they gave somebody a First Amendment right in an organization to basically speak. And what that person said wasn't really that inflammatory. It was about label lynching. And because they had already label lynched that guy, they quickly placed that label onto the chair of Spokane County, who was the leader of the Northwest Grassroots, and they bamboozled her into resigning. It was the biggest loss of Spokane County of the decade. They actually had a chair that was championing the Constitution and moving them, and she was perceived as a threat. And the Republican Party and the Washington, the RNC and the Washington State Republican Party basically pressured her. They threatened her into resigning. And I called her husband and I said, look, do not let her resign. Make her take a stand on a vote of confidence. Don't let external pressures put her into this position. She should go to the body of the people and say, I leave it to you. I give you, you know, the vote of confidence. Do you, a majority of you believe I should step down? And I think she should state her case. And then she has at least an assemblance of due process, that those who put her in that position may either support her or not. But not because the judgment finger has come down from the RNC like on high. This is just ridiculous. So there will be a point in time where maybe the state of Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, some of these dark red states that are going to recognize the uniparty and the dark influence of the RNC and the Republican Party. Folks, we got to abandon the party. I'm telling you, the Republican Party, if you've seen everything it has done to Donald Trump since he came in, remember the mass exodus of people that actually left their positions in Congress so that there could be a blue wave. Do you understand that the Republicans were responsible in Congress of allowing that many seats to open up for the Democrats to take enough control to actually go after Trump? Now, you know I'm not a Trump supporter or a fanatic Trump. I don't believe he's done a lot of things, but maybe I don't know where his heart is. I do know that the people he has surrounded himself with are bad people, bad actors, however you want to label them. The problem is that he, and I've said this at the very beginning when he was nominated, he is the most constitutionally illiterate president we have ever had. So with that doesn't help. But what we need to do is we need to take the state backs, because as I've said, even Trump couldn't do this. Had I been president in 2016, I wouldn't have gone down with all of these big changing bills and tried to change. I would have changed foreign policies and I would have done a lot of the stuff that he'd done. I would not have signed the USMCA, but I would have gone to every state house and the state legislatures. I would have had it recorded. I would have made sure that it was available to everybody what I said in their state house, in all 50 state houses. I would have walked in and basically taken 1 hour to say all of these things that we're doing are unconstitutional. I, as the President of the United States, will protect you because I do not have constitutional authority to dismantle the government and to assert, but only you do. You are the judges because you are the parties to this compact. I would have given them the academic evidence, and maybe I would have taken 3, 4, 5 hours. But I would have been, it would have been a fire hosing of information. It wouldn't have been just a repeating of, you're so great, this is great, aren't these people great, this is great. You're great. You're awesome. And I just, I know I'm criticizing him. I know that his heart may be in the right spot. I'm not. I don't want to judge him, because it's the same thing with Obama. I don't want to judge Obama, but everything I've seen Obama do is purely evil. I do not see that with Trump. And I think that's what the American people loved about Trump, is they don't see that in every direction he moves and everything he does is evil. I think a lot of people see that he was really trying to do the right thing. Unfortunately, he was never listening to me. Anyway, this need to be able to dynamically change the state organization, to be able to do a quick reorg, is to support the concept, that the entire Republican Party has been basically excommunicated from the RNC and cast out. And then this would force the RNC to rebuild their party as well. But moving all of these people in the Republican Party to the Constitution Party would be the best thing ever. And I think that they need to be able to facilitate that, especially with that magnitude of people, PCOs and everything else.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So in other words, the bylaws that will allow a emergency reorg would be basically either quantified by a massive number, and actually it should be qualified by the potential of the abandonment of one party because of its lack of support. Now, one of the things that also has to be included, and I've said this before, people go, well, you can get bad players to come in and actually try to do bad things and put them in bad leadership. Now, if you don't remember, I already said that the bylaws must require every person that is an operative, whether they be a PCO, a captain, which is, means they're unelected, but everybody in the Constitution Party must take the oath of office, the oath of citizenship, however you want to, you know, put it in context. But the fact is, you must be bound by that oath to support the Constitution. And therefore, you know, if the Constitution Party is only about supporting the Constitution, that only makes sense. So anybody that comes in, before they even can, you know, exercise any authority, they have to first become a member and take an oath. And then they can be elected. and or appointed as the PCOs. And so if they're, and I can see that there has to be an accounting for if you have a precinct committee officer, because you'll have a lot of them coming from the Republican Party, where there may be a constitutional precinct committee officer. The constitutional precinct precinct committee officer would take precedence. They would be able to retain their position, and any PCO that wants to challenge that, they're more than welcome to challenge in the upcoming election. There won't be any special elections because the parties obviously don't pay for these, you know, elections, these regional or state elections. So it would be revisited at the opportunity of the next upcoming election. So anyway, some portions of the bylaws and their intent cannot be removed or amended. This has to be a bylaw, and this has to be very specific. Well, why would we do this? Well, why did the Constitution do this? Because they understood that there were certain parts of the Constitution that there may be a move to change. And so one of those things was the shutting down of the slave trade. The northern states wanted to make sure that they capped and limited the southern states from being able to increase that institution to spread across the United States. And they were successful in doing that just because of Madison. But point is, if you read Article 5, there's these amendment protection clauses. I believe the bylaws must have an amendment protection clause to ensure that certain parts cannot be voted out, that they must, they can be amended. However, they can only be amended as long as the spirit and intent of that bylaw is not perverted or changed. And so what I mean by that is you can actually improve upon the language and the specification of, and a good case in point would be, you know, requiring the oath. Well, okay, so that oath can be just done verbally, but maybe you want to amend that part to include a written petition or a written pledge or signing a document that you were legally bound by that oath. Okay, well, that's great, because it creates better constraints. It is more secure for the party to, you know, improve those types of things. We don't want them to start laxing or, you know, marginalize. Well, you know, you'll sign a piece of paper. That's all you need to do. You don't need to take an oath. That would actually be the opposite or not supporting the intent of that bylaw, that everybody would have to take an oath to become a part of the party. And so that's what the intent of this bylaw would be, that you can't water it down, you can't marginalize it, you can strengthen it and you can build upon it, but you cannot start perverting the intent, because the whole intent of checks and balances is to protect the interests of individual liberty, the interest of individual sovereignty, and our Constitution. And so the other bylaw that really needs to be injected is, and I talked about this, holding public servants accountable to their oath. That way, you know, when, and I think a lot of people love this, so it's worth repeating, that when the election is over, the county central committee meets and they create their laundry list of everybody that was elected within their county and statewide that they voted on. And they identify whether that person is a friend or foe of the Constitution. Then that county chair actually writes a letter to each of them. To those who they believe are friends of the Constitution, they would send a short letter, congratulations. Oh, by the way, as the Constitution Party, we hold our, you know, our politicians and our members accountable, and we want you to make sure you send us a status on a, you know, whatever stipulation you want to make, a 2 weeks or once a month. Be as lenient as you want to be, but if they don't do it, then you need to ramp it up and say, look, you're not doing this. Now we're going to have to ask that you do this, or we're going to have to look and find somebody else that is willing to be a transparent politician, because transparency is very important to understand what your representative is doing for you. And when I say you're the party, these people actually represent the party. When people vote down party lines, they take blind faith and trust that the Republican Party or their party is taking care of their best interests by vetting these people and making sure that they, you know, are held accountable and so forth. So this is why the party actually has to have bylaws to hold these public servants that are bearing their label accountable. One of the things that I just really believe, and the trend is, and even in our company that I worked prior to my retirement, they actually did a survey amongst the employees, and this is a large global company. And the majority of the employees felt one of the biggest problems was that management did not hold employees and other managers accountable for their bad actions. And so for their behavior, bad behavior. And so I believe that's within America. I think that is an American culture that it's wrong not to hold people accountable. So now that we've kind of talked about the bylaws, we already talked really the details in a previous episode over the platform and so forth. What's going on right now are the reorgs in your county and pretty soon the reorgs in your state. And what we have to do, and the reason I covered these things is because this is where they start setting up committees that are going to change or suggest changes to their bylaws. You know, I live in a county where the former chair looked at the bylaws and everything because they created them. Oh, this stuff was the best thing since sliced bread. It was crap. There was no supporting the Constitution. There was no inference of educating and making people constitutionally literate. I mean, it was really all about management and control, and it was typical of a bureaucrat. Anyway, what we also have to do is we also have to look at the bylaws even. So the part of the vetting is the holding people accountable. So you probably want to have your bylaws that address the public servants, you know, and it starts off with the vetting process. So in the bylaws, you say, okay, each county has to fully vet. And the best way to do this, my friends, is to come up with a test. Now, there are some questions and other tests out there, but I believe that you really have to have the test appropriate for the position. If a person is applying for a legislative position, whether that be county commissioner, whether that be city council, whether that be state legislature, what have you, if it is in lawmaking, then they need to have a test that is tailored towards lawmaking. If it is in regards to things that are unconstitutional, then you have to verify whether this person realizes that federal funding, such as a school board, and because the school board is going to get in there, they're going to become a champion for getting more and more federal money spent to, you know, on their, so they can do more things. And they want to be super dependent on federal dollars. Well, that's unacceptable. And as a matter of fact, we need to be moving in the opposite direction. We need to be moving back towards homeschooling. This exigency or this unconstitutional thing, the one good thing that's come out of this, it is proven that homeschooling is better. And I am telling any parent out there, if you haven't searched YouTube and you haven't started looking for better math and better education in teaching your children, then you're not doing a good job, my friends. You've got to do better. Go to yaymath.org. And look at the videos. This guy teaches people, he actually teaches kids, children, and he does role playing. He does a really great job. And you can actually prep to CLEP out of college level math by watching his videos and going through his courses. And it's all free. There's all sorts of great education and sciences and so forth out there. Why would you be using this Common Core crap? We need to shut that down. We don't want more money for it. We want to shut that down. We want our kids to be more competitive in science. We want our children to be more competitive in economics, business, finance, period. We want to actually have the best education possible, not the best citizens that will be, you know, compliant to the federal government. What we want is individual thinking and critical thinking. Anyway, We will be right back after these talk promos, because I didn't get a chance to say that last time. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so we're in the last segment of this episode. One of the things that is just baffles me. I can't understand why the party does not constantly work in developing and nurturing replacements of people that understand how to defend the Constitution. Why is it that they have a laissez-faire design? Because that's what they want. They don't want you to know that they're giving these politicians the ability to screw you over and to move us towards this global governance scheme. It's been a long scheme happening, friends. They've been taking away your rights a little bit at a time. But first they had to inject and water down the morality in the gene pool. This is why sex education became an issue in the 50s. They couldn't bring it up earlier because morality was just too high. We finally became a more tolerant nation, even towards homosexuality, in the 50s and 60s. As Mark Levin points out, and I think it's in his Men in Black robes or whatever, Men in Black, and he points out that every state in the Union had sodomy laws and laws against practicing homosexuality in 1960. And look at how far we've gone to now. They're actually, the states are being mandated by an unconstitutional law from the federal government that homosexuals have a right to be married. We've gone from tolerance to actually being rammed down our throats to where homosexuals now have a right to go into orphanages and adopt children. Boy, look at Rosie O'Donnell and her child. You think that child has been better fed, or I should say better developed mentally, emotionally, and so forth because of the environment she was raised in? Remember, the scientific fact is this. Results take time to measure. We have no idea what monster we have just created by allowing homosexual activists to actually take and raise and create byproducts of their perversion.
You know, there's a reason why they have to adopt children is because the consequence of their decision means that they can't have kids. And so they've pleaded with your tolerance, and they've actually it's via the money, that's really how they've been able to do this, by influencing and buying off politicians and using their money and their influence. I wrote papers about this, about how if you look at All in the Family and the Jeffersons, here were two groundbreaking shows that were introducing to America this concept of interracial marriage and the races getting along. But there was these other things like communism and homosexuality that were also out there, these really bad. And Archie Bunker deliberately, the guy, whatever Carol's name is, his full name, he was deliberately playing a stooge to help people open up and soften themselves to tolerate this agenda. We had been played. This is another way we were manipulated into allowing their progressive agenda to get further hold and more control over us. But I want to point out that this whole concept of interracial marriage got wiped away. There were all sorts of really good shows, and then all of a sudden they were just short run shows like Room 222 or The Mod Squad, and you know, bringing races together. They said, "Man, you know what? This is becoming too successful. People are starting to, you know, stop being divided." So they stopped showing these shows of interracial and cooperation amongst races and so forth, and how people are people. Doesn't matter what the color of their skin is. But the interesting thing is they started ratcheting up the biases against homosexuality with Three's Company and a lot of other shows. As a matter of fact, by the 80s, it was a mandate. An organization that was created called GLAAD that would go after every show because you're not showing a favorable light. Even Seinfeld made a show about that very particular political thing. Well, not that there's anything wrong with it. See? And that's how they were focused on perverting America instead of uniting America and the races. They realized that was going to open up a can of worms that they didn't want. And still to this day, they still feed on this division of racism. Man, we've been manipulated. And it's time we actually start really, really working on, you know, pointing out how we've been manipulated. But that's a different problem. When we're concentrating on the party has a responsibility. A corporation has a responsibility in developing viable replacements for leadership, for those who are representing them. Getting into organizations, whether they be party or whether they be grassroots civics organizations, they all must exude the spirit of the Constitution. And failure to do so literally puts us and our culture of America towards totalitarianism, whether it's theocracy or socialism, it doesn't matter. Both of those directions are wrong. Businesses taking political correct positions. In other words, as one that approached many businesses to support my show on educating the Constitution, obviously I'm giving you the full wrath here of the Constitution, how everybody has a responsibility in supporting it. All of these businesses that were supposedly conservative businesses in the heartland of conservatism were convinced by marketing agencies and ad agencies to not support, don't do anything for that Constitution. You will be, you know, you'll be liable for people to come and throw rocks in your windows. Are you kidding me? Then that's an indictment of why we can't be sterile, why we actually have to start being brutal and honest about this. The reason these people are able to throw rocks is because of the Constitution that they want to shred and throw away. Folks, I know we're waking up. There are different types of grassroots, but I will tell you the biggest player in the grassroots period for everybody, you should be a part of the militia. It is a requirement for every U.S. citizen to protect and defend, and that is the role of the militia. There are myopic organizations out there as well. The NLA is not one of those, But there are plenty of myopic organizations out there that are fighting Common Core, fighting abortion, fighting, you know, or protecting Second Amendment rights, or these, you know, these progressives like SOGI and those types of things want to demand that you use the proper pronouns or they can fine you and throw you in jail. Are you kidding me? They want to violate the First Amendment rights. They want to, because the Constitution is going to become more and more problematic for them to function and operate, they have to get rid of it. And they have to get rid of it for several reasons, not just for them to operate freely, but for them to actually move us into the ultimate state-controlled government. When it comes down to conservative organizations, these groups, all of these groups, whether they be the Constitution Party, because as far as I'm concerned, the Constitution Party is really the only party that is focused on the answer, the solution. Every chair that I have talked to regarding Republic Review and the Constitution Party, they get it just like that. That was my finger snapping way back behind me because I didn't want it to overpower. But anyway, here we go. Every party chair, I have had party chairs of the Republican parties in dark red states. Absolutely, they agree and they get on board. But I believe that the day of reckoning is coming when the RNC will realize what some of these states are doing and they will go after them. And so we have to be honest. We have to realize that the party that doesn't have political agendas is the best party for America, and that is the Constitution Party. Period. Anyway, all these groups that are civic activist groups need to unite in supporting the Constitution and protesting the government violating the Constitution. We need to start demanding that these unconstitutional powers be taken down. And sometimes in a protest, you can't have 50 messages. So we actually have to get pretty active in our messaging so that people start understanding the magnitude of the problem we're dealing with. Obviously, anybody that starts moving towards and starts reading the Constitution, the things that we're doing here with Reclaiming the Republic and the National Liberty Alliance and the Constitution Party, as well as We the People Foundation. Here are four organizations that are uniting and working together in getting the federal government into compliance with the Constitution. There are lots of other organizations that I did not list. I'd like to say the Eagle Forum. I have some presidents of the Eagle Forum that are on board with supporting the Constitution. Then there is, I think it's Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum. It's the other side, the brothers, because I guess when Phyllis Schlafly died, the daughter of the organization, the conservative side of the organization moved towards the daughter, and the progressive side moved towards the sons because they support the Convention of States and all of these other progressive facades that make it seem like they're conservative, but they're really opening up and leading people down the wrong path. Anyway, my point is we want to start listening. We're going to start calling out all these other organizations who we have formally gone to and asked them to support Republic Review and these concepts of fully enforcing the Constitution. John Birch Society has been one of them. They have refused to give me any type of position. Well, that's okay. You got to understand, no answer is an answer in itself, right? There you go. And so we're going to start actually naming names. We want people to understand why you should have nothing to do with these organizations, because they are a part of the problem. You've heard me lecture on this for months. Are you a part of the problem or a part of the solution? It's time we become a part of the solution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution?
To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.